Ask Catherine. We've got a lot of questions, so let me roll through. Dear Catherine, have you read any of, and I can't even, no, I haven't read his books, but I can't even pronounce his name. It's Chogyam, new word, Trumpas. Our subscriber says he changed my life, my thinking. Well, I've ordered one of his books from Amazon, so let's see, see if I can learn to pronounce his name. But I believe he's a teacher who teaches meditation, and clearly from his books, he's terribly popular. Anyway, so I'll learn more about it, and I thank you for the recommendation. Okay, long post from somebody who's just been visiting Africa. Very interesting. Let me read it to you quickly. Dear Catherine, since you're talking about Africa recently and are talking about general trends in digital economy and mobile internet, here's some info regarding both. I'm spending more and more time in Southern Africa for both private and business reasons, so I thought I might share some info with you. Attached, you can find presentation from recent Vitafoods Africa conference in Johannesburg. It is a series of fairs and conferences in the food and food supplement industry. Needless to say, South Africa, which I benchmark for the region, also in legal terms, they are currently passing some funny food and complementary medical regulation, which is even stranger than in the EU. One would think this was difficult to achieve, but believe me, there are those who have been able to do that, while the vaccines and strange pharma products keep finding more and more room in Africa. Anyway, the presentation attached is from one lady from Pfizer, and I believe you'll find it interesting parts towards the end regarding digital marketing in the region. Also, I have attached some articles from the last edition of an African business to which I've subscribed. It regards ICT industry in Africa, so goes hand in hand with the presentation before. If you look around yourself in Africa, it is really amazing how much mobile services are gaining ground, especially in finance. Oh, yes. In some respects, they're way ahead of the developed world. There is also one service in Zimbabwe, which is interesting. You can get 1 week of unlimited use of WhatsApp app via Wi-Fi for just $1. You can't use Wi-Fi for other stuff, but only for WhatsApp. And everybody is using that service. Watch it come. Just wait till they start saying, if you sign up for the Google Wallet or the Apple Pay, we'll give you $50. Wait for that to happen. Another article is cover story of this edition, and it's African think tanks. So the idea that they are being started by Africans, but I really don't believe that. You have to bear in mind that people in Africa, in many cases, still regard organizations as the UN, the World Health Organization, as important, and at least organizations with good intentions. And what is funny, this sort of idea is more prevalent with middle-class educated people. It sure can be sensed in magazines as this one, but at the same time, it gives you an overview as to what some things that are going on. It makes me think also of your comments regarding young people in Russia that have been indoctrinated, since I can see it for years around me in Croatia and in the region. Anyway, I hope you will find some interesting info on these. I managed to get articles only in PDF from websites, so unfortunately you won't be able to see images. Anyway, thank you very much. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. Okay, so here's the request for Jim Rickards. My request, please do a show in which you contrast your understanding of general investment advice with that of Jim Rickards as given in his book, Death of Money. Rickards surely is one of the most brilliant, learned, and articulate spokesmen for the point of view that the dollar will eventually fall as the world reserve currency, leading to the collapse of the present monetary system after the SDRs also have been overissued. What general investment advice would you give based on differing views of probable outcomes? How would you justify those differences based on your different understanding of how the deep state is managing the world economy and its monetary system? I can hardly wait. I'm not gonna do a big show on Rickards, what he says, but essentially Rickards, in my experience, stays entirely within the financial channel, and doesn't make any sense to me. Finance is, as I said, part of the governance system, and it serves the asset side of the balance sheet. So if you can't look at the full governance system and what's going on in the asset side of the balance sheet, you're just talking financial gibberish. There's no doubt about it that the investment system on planet Earth is being re-engineered and needs to be re-engineered, and that we're going to need changes in the currency system. And how that plays out, you know, it can go many ways. I'm not interested in prophecy, and I think if there's anything I've tried to say about investment strategies, that it's absolutely important to not bet the ranch on any particular view of the future. that a variety of scenarios are possible, including serious deflation or war or continued slow burn. And I think we need to be prepared to succeed in all of them. That's the idea, is to use our resources to navigate successfully. But most important, I think the people who will succeed in this environment are the people who solve problems. And a perfect example is new billionaire Jack Ma, head of Alipay, who has, or head of Alibaba and Alipay, who was a school teacher who's come up with a business that solves unbelievable amounts of problems for unbelievable numbers of small entrepreneurs and small businesses. And it's a perfect example of, you know, what we need to remember to do is to use an investment strategy where we're building the pathways we need for helping our society navigate and move through this period of extraordinary change. Anyway, so I will, as I said, I will write something up on Foster Gamble's piece. Do you consider U.S. Bank a tapeworm bank? U.S. Bank is one of the largest banks. I would say arguably, to my knowledge, which is not particularly deep, it's one of the cleanest large ones. And so I always like to go with smaller or local, but I've never referred to U.S. Bank as a tapeworm bank, but I do think the fastest way to avoid the tapeworm is to go slower go smaller. The larger the bank, the more susceptible it is to have to toe the party line. And so to a certain extent, you know, the larger it is, the more dependent it is on the system. But as far as I'm concerned, U.S. Bank is from everything I know is arguably pretty clean. Dear Catherine, as shocking as this is for me to come to terms with, my research is indicating that the powers that be initiated the vaccination program here in the U.S. to be able to experiment on all of us with the eradication of illness being their cover story. These people have been studying eugenics for quite a long time, and the first vaccinations caused cancer in a great number of people. What is your opinion? You want to listen to the interview we do with Alan Phillips 2 weeks from now. We'll publish it at the end of the month. Or you can go back and listen to the ones we did with Alan in 2009 and January 2013. I've been trying for many years to figure out what the push is for vaccinations. Is it one goal? Is it multiple goals? This has been going on since the 1800s. You've seen tremendous pushback from the population, knowing that vaccinations were very dangerous and doing great harm in England, the United States, Australia. I mean, this is a fight that's been going on for well more than a century. And of course, if you look at the historical statistics, you know, it really is that the vaccinations brought down the experience of these particular, of a whole variety of different things, from smallpox to diphtheria. A lot of these things were solved by introducing healthy water and sewer systems in cities, building immune systems, etc. So the official story on vaccinations is clearly not true, and they clearly can be exceptionally harmful. And the question is, what's the push? What's it for? And there are many different theories. I don't know which one is true. At some point, I should sit down with John Rappaport, and we should go through all the different theories of why the powers that be are pushing vaccination. The push is very much coming from the top, and it's exceptionally forceful. And so the question is why, and I don't know the answer. Interestingly enough, one of the theories is, and of course, when you do something this big and expensive, it doesn't have to be one reason, there can be multiple. But one theory is that it lowers our telepathic abilities. So think of it as it lowers our perceptiveness without lowering our ability to function in certain ways. And so if you want us to resonate with machines instead of people, it makes it easier to do that, puts us in a lower mind, makes us easier to control. And so I've found that to be a fairly interesting theory. But again, I don't know. How much of the wild up and down swings in both our economy and the real estate market here in the U.S. over the past 30, 40 years have been due to us going off the gold standard back in 1971. I think that's a part, but I think it's a small part. People who argue that that's the primary reason, I think, are looking at a very small portion of reality. The world is unfortunately much more bizarre than what they believe. I also do think a lot of it is sort of intentional pump and dumps in a variety of ways, done in a, what I would say is an unelegant manner. But I do think the story is much more complicated. And that's why I think it's essential to look at the economy in terms of who's governing, what they're doing, why they're doing it, and where all the money disappearing from the economy is going. Because a lot of these cycles are part of harvesting, I think, to produce that sort of disappearing money. Dear Catherine, while gun control failed on the national level, it succeeded mightily on the state level. After Bloomberg and other billionaires poured millions into the campaign, Washington voters overwhelmingly bought the propaganda. What was most disturbing was the inability or unwillingness of the NRA to act at a local level. They can act. You just need to send the money. They're being outspent. Now empowered, Bloomberg is taking his initiative to other states. It seems that all politics are indeed local. Yes, yes, yes. It is interesting to watch the propaganda and entrainment messages seemingly focused on the local level more and more. Thank you for your last interviews on spiritual warfare. It's the only thing I can see as a way to combat the divide and conquer propaganda. While you're always welcome to move to Tennessee, one of the most enchanting presentations I ever listened to was the Tennessee Gun Association, who announced that their membership was equivalent to the number of voters in the state who regularly voted. So we have more than 50% of the voters who regularly vote. So Tennessee is very, very much oriented towards gun rights. But I think your comments are absolutely excellent. It is so important right now. Pay attention to local politics. And you're right, the entrainment and the lobbying and the money is moving in to try and persuade the local electorate. Finally, are there any Solaria circles in the Seattle area? I would really like to meet people who share in this information, who share in the Solaria point of view. Hopefully sometime I'll come to Seattle and we'll gather everybody for lunch, so maybe a circle can gather. But in the meantime, if you're interested in being put in touch in Seattle, send emails to customer service and we can certainly introduce you by email, but we need you to ask permission. And I would, of course, always ask you to be discerning and make sure you get to know each other before you assume anything. I'm always nervous about introducing people through the internet. So that's why I like to come and do a lunch.